Our opening hymn is number 676. Please stand. Our service begins on page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, I will direct you to your introit as we speak together half verse by half verse. But we will bless the Lord. As for me, I have set my king. I will tell of the decree.
The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you."
Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
But we will bless the Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
At this time, I'll direct you to your propers insert as we pray together the collect of the day. Let us pray.
Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost comes from Isaiah chapter 51. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you. For he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, and make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to my people, and give ear to my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'll once again direct you to your small catechism insert. Today, we continue our confession on the Apostles' Creed. What is the second article of the Apostles' Creed?
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
What does this mean?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
The epistle comes from Romans, chapters 11 and 12. O the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, I will direct your attention to page 191 of your hymnal as we confess together our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Our next hymn is number 537. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A few months back, I was at the Meijer grocery store up in Bloomington. I was in the carbonated beverages section of the grocery store, and I was looking for my own groceries when a gentleman who was standing next to me asked me, "Do you have such and such a brand of tonic water?" Well, I was wearing pretty much the same thing you see me wear almost every Sunday. Not a white robe, right? That'd be weird. But you know, dark gray pants, my black clerical, I had my cross around my neck. You know, I had already taken the tab out because it was hot that day, so I didn't want to wear it. But for whatever reason, my attire somehow clued this guy into the fact that I might be a store employee at Meijer. Of course, I told him I wasn't sure if the store carried that particular brand because I wasn't an employee. He quickly apologized and left. I can only assume he went to go find someone who could actually help him because I was clearly not the man for the job. Now, if he had had a question about Jesus, well, maybe I would have been able to help him out. But that's not what he did.
You see, throughout our lives, there are different people that we will need to rely on for things. Right? If the plumbing in your house malfunctions for some reason, you'll have to call a plumber. But you certainly wouldn't call an electrician for that job. And consequently, if there's some problem with your lights in your house, you might call an electrician instead of a plumber. Likewise, with roofs and roofers, you'll have to call, and masons deal with bricks and tile and such things, and doctors are to be experts in the body, and then you have repairmen who can fix mechanical things and cars and lawnmowers and things of that nature. The list of specialties could go on and on and on. And in our text for today, Jesus asks his disciples a question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. As we find out, people hold Jesus in very high regard, but they don't actually seek him for the job that he is an expert in. John was a prophet. Elijah was a prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet. And certainly Jesus is a prophet. He does speak from God, but his job is so much more than that. Jesus performs many miracles. He preaches with authority as no one else did in that day. He did things that only someone sent from God could do. And so the people know that in some way he is very, very special. But on the other hand, the people also have another voice whispering in their ears. The Pharisees. The opponents of Jesus, who are adamant that Jesus is not the Messiah. I know you see the miracles. I know you hear the preaching, but this isn't the guy. And so the people are suppressed. Suppressed from seeing who Jesus really is because they believe the Pharisees, at least in part. And so many people did not recognize Jesus as the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah of the world. And it really isn't all that much different than what we have in the world today. You don't have to look far to see that people have great respect for Jesus. I mean, for the most part, that's true. But they don't have the faith to see him for the expertise that he actually has. So many people fail to see him in the appropriate job. And so who do people say that Jesus is? We hear all kinds of answers, don't we? Jesus is my friend. Jesus is a life coach. Jesus is a good example. Jesus is a good teacher. Jesus is a social justice warrior. Jesus is one such way that you can use to get to heaven. In the end, what the world says, what people say, is that Jesus is a teddy bear mascot who cheers for whatever I want. They will hold Jesus in high esteem. But you'll notice what the world won't say. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is God. Jesus' death and resurrection from the grave is the only way to heaven. They stop short of saying that Jesus is the Christ who saves. Now, don't misunderstand, right? Jesus certainly is our friend. That's true. He is a life coach. That's also true. He is a good example. He has many, many, many laudable qualities, and those aren't bad. But when we understand these things, we have to also understand that Jesus is so much more than what the world will teach. He's so much more than what you'll hear in the media. Because quite honestly, even Satan himself doesn't care if Jesus is your friend. He doesn't. He doesn't care if Jesus is your example, because you'll never live up to his standard. He doesn't care about who you think Jesus is. He doesn't care how many laudable qualities of Jesus you recognize, so long as you don't confess that Jesus is your Savior. As long as Jesus isn't God himself, then Satan wins. If you don't believe that Jesus was crucified and risen for you, then Satan wins. He has distracted you from the real Jesus. Because Satan's only goal is to teach that Jesus isn't Savior. It's not just the world who falls for this, my friends. It's us too. We get distracted by Satan's lies. We begin to think that Jesus is to somehow offer us some sort of better earthly life because we're believers. In some way, we think that no evil should ever befall us, that nothing bad should ever happen to us. And while that is true, because God has an eternal perspective, when bad things happen in our life, do we point the finger? Or do we start to ask, Jesus, where are you in this terrible situation? Jesus, where are you in the year 2020? Because we all know it's been a struggle. No, what Satan does is he brings us low because of the sin that exists in the world, and then he puts a false savior in Jesus' place. He goes, you having trouble in the world? Where is Jesus in all this? And if he isn't going to step in to save you, well then, maybe something else can. Maybe an expert can step in. Modern medicine, or a plumber, or an electrician, or a mechanic. They can swoop in and save the day. Do we trust in what the world has given? Or do we trust in what God has given? Should we rely on the experts above all else? Or do we rely on our God above all else? But you see Satan's little half-truth here, right? Certainly, doctors and plumbers and electricians and experts, they're not bad. They're a blessing from God. But when we value them without recognizing that Jesus is the God who has established them for us, well, we've been deceived. Deceived into trusting in temporal things apart from our Savior. Jesus, on the other hand, invites us into an eternal reality. The reality that He is Savior. Not just Savior for eternity, although that's certainly true as well. But He's Savior for you right now. Savior for you in whatever trouble you are facing today. Because He does give us great blessings. Because even though He is unseen to our human eyes, He still blesses us every day in the ways that He knows are best. And yes, when those earthly blessings come to an end, He does welcome us into an eternal reward. The life that is to come, where sin and Satan and death will be put away for all time. But do you believe it? Well, I hope so, because you told me you do. You told the Lord you do. You already said it today, in fact. Remember, we just spoke the Nicene Creed together. It means you have confessed, along with St. Peter, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That He is the one who came into the world to show you the Father's compassion and love. See, Jesus is the one who came to this world and witnessed the troubles of it firsthand. And we confess that He is the one who took our sin on the cross and who shed His blood for us and who died with all of our sins and with all of our doubts and with all of our fear. We confess that He is our Savior, that He is the Son of the living God who comes back to life to declare victory over death and all our troubles. In the Creed, we confess Jesus' job description. In the Creed, we trust Jesus to use His expertise to save us. And so this same Jesus has brought you here today to get your declaration of faith, but not only just to hear you say it, but to confirm you in it. To reassure you of the truth that because of His death, because of His resurrection, because of His power over Satan himself, you are forgiven. and you have every good thing. And since this is your confession of faith, what does that mean for you? Well, Jesus tells us that too. He says, "Blessed are you, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You, those who have been blessed by Jesus as Savior, you're building the church. We build the church. That's what we do when we rely on our Savior. That's what we do when we gather here in this building around word and sacrament. The declaration of forgiveness that you heard at the beginning of our service. The declaration of forgiveness that you share with your neighbor in your daily life. It builds the church. When you bring your little ones to the baptismal font. When you bring the unbeliever to the baptismal font. When you yourselves were baptized, you were building the church. When we receive the supper, we join together, we commune. We're this Christian community that joins around Jesus' forgiveness that he places into our mouth in his very body and blood. And in doing so, we build the church. Because the church is built on Christ. My friend, Jesus accomplishes his job as being your Savior. He takes your place in suffering and death, and now you get to take up a task too, of extending forgiveness to all those around you, and therefore build the church. May God grant that in the person and work of Jesus, we see both our God and our Savior from sin and Satan, and may we build his church in accordance with his will. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue with the offertory on page 192. Please stand. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all people, that they may have faith in Christ and heed the voice of God calling by his word. For all of the church and the people of God may pursue righteousness with peace and joy in their hearts. And for all pastors and their ministry of word and sacrament, and for all vocations to the ministry, that the lives of God's people may redound to his praise and glory. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our President, Congress, Governor, and all civic leaders in their pursuit of peace and unity. For all judges and magistrates in their pursuit of justice with mercy. And for those who protect us from violence and preserve order here and everywhere. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all noble professions, and for the flourishing of the arts and music, for favorable weather and the fruits of the earth, and for those unemployed, the poor, the homeless, the hungry, and all people in need. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all families and children, single adults and youth, for those who teach and those who learn, that they may advance in wisdom and grace, and for the catechumens and those who teach them the faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for victims of disaster, and for those stricken by illness or infirmity, for the aged and infirm, as well as those in nursing homes and assisted living facilities, for those who grieve the loss of those whom they love, and for those who meet with sudden death. Let us pray to the Lord. For the work of God's kingdom in this place, for our faithful support of the church and the renewal of our parish life through the means of grace, for our communion this day upon the life-giving body and blood of Christ, and for our growth in grace, that we may attain to the full stature of Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Be merciful to us, O Lord, and hear our prayers. Grant to us the grace of your Holy Spirit, that we may be led into all truth and be steadfast in the confession of Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service continues on page 194.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right, so true.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always. The Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy. Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen.
Welcome to the table of the Lord. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. The true body of Jesus Christ given for you. Depart in peace and joy, your sins are forgiven.
Please stand. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Please be seated. Our closing hymn is number 673.